Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Newsmakers Podcast, sponsored by the Tippecanoe Gazette. Today, we've got some special guests on the show. We got Meredith McKee from the Tip City Chamber of Commerce.
Yep, I'm back.
I like to say that.
I never left. I actually didn't.
It's like you're still sitting in the same chair you were 5 minutes ago. Thank you again for...
You're a part-time co-host.
Yes. Thank you for coming on and setting up some awesome guests. We just recorded a podcast earlier, and now... Who's joining us?
We are here with Aaron Mock. We are super excited to hear all about Mock Cabinets by Design.
Hello, everybody.
I like that. Yeah, you get the deep voice.
Is this your first podcast?
That's good.
It is my first podcast.
It's exciting. Yeah. It's very boring and very chatty and very not exciting. It's just chatting.
I'm excited.
I feel like you'll be a natural.
Mock Cabinets by Design is the full name of the business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been doing it for 30 years, and about 15 years ago, I got tired of working 70 hours a week for somebody else, so I thought it'd be a good idea to work 80 hours a week for myself.
I see what you did there. That was funny. Yeah. I thought you were going to go this way, and you went that way.
I went completely. It's been great. I don't regret any aspect of it at all, but it's just interesting, you know, now I'm in my 15th year of being a business owner and doing it all on myself, and you tend to appreciate the things that your previous employers did for you. So, like, it's really every day is exciting. Every day is something new. But yeah, long ago, you know, I didn't have to worry about bookkeeping and HR and, you know, all the marketing and things like that. So it's just, you know, it's another set of hats that you have to wear, and it's challenging. But I mean, my primary focus has always been and will always continue to be to design and be creative. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I love to do. But yeah, just, you know, being as welcoming as Tip City was and is, I felt like that was the natural progression in my career. But it's, you know, somewhat uncharted territory for anybody, I think, when they open a business. So, to say that you, you know, expected this or have it all figured out is not necessarily accurate for anybody. We're all just kind of figuring it out as we go, but no, I love it. I mean, I love being a fixture here and plan on being here for a while.
Yeah.
Having a business is scary because it seems like no matter what you get figured out, there's another thing that pops up and you're like, oh yeah, I forgot. I need to do that.
It's never ending.
Yeah. Well, and you think you've got a handle on everything and then something comes out and you're like, oh, or laws change or something new pops up and you're like... I also have to apologize about the sound. That sounded like a car engine running in here, and it's because of the heat popped on, and I had to run over there and turn the thing off. It really, like, these mics are really good, and it picks all that up, so.
Yeah, they are. This is great.
All right, Aaron, are you from Tip City originally, or why did you start a business in Tip City?
No, so I'm from Vandalia, actually, originally. My wife, Kelly, she grew up in Tip, graduated from Tip, so... I mean, I always had that association, I think, with it. But, you know, I've always admired Tip. And I think when we moved to Troy, probably about 20 years ago. And back then I was with another cabinet company. As I mentioned earlier, I've been doing this for like 30 years, been on my own for about 15 now. And so I was at Kanapke Cabinets on the square there in Troy. It's where Heron's Market's at now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that was my first dip into that pond of designing a showroom. And he just kind of let me do what I wanted to do. And it was great. It was a great experience. And so I think that was like my introduction, not only to that, but just the whole world of remodeling. Because back then it was really just more geared towards cabinetry. And as I worked for him, we started to see, this is back in 2008, the economy do what it did. And a lot of people decided, hey, I don't want to build. I want to just stay where I'm at. And we want somebody that can not only do the cabinets, but like do the flooring, the tile, the drywall, the electric, everything. So that was really cool because it was like, well, now we're taking this small little piece of this puzzle, cabinets, and we're expanding it into something much bigger and yeah. more vast. And so that was my introduction into that. And it's kind of like a fake it, you know, till you make it type of thing. you're like, I know about cabinets. Sure. Let's learn about flooring. Let's learn about this and that. So that was, you know, again, over 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And when I left to do what I did here and start Mock, a lot of those installers just kind of went with me. Mm-hmm. And wasn't my intention. That's just what happened. They kind of found me and we had always clicked. So it was built in familiarity, and that was great. I didn't have to really explain my expectations to them. I knew what they were capable of doing. And it was, you know, I guess a little nerve-wracking at the beginning because you're like, gosh, I really, you know, like any business, you don't know how it's going to be perceived or if it's going to succeed. But I had such, I guess, a good base of customers back then and still do that. I don't know. I just had this blind confidence that I could do it.
Sometimes you need that, though.
You kind of do. Yeah,
you gotta, like you said, fake it till you make it. But also there's a confidence there. If you're like, here's a thing that we're going to do now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all like, what? And you're like, oh, no, it'll work.
Yeah. And you know, to your point, it can cripple you if you let it. So mm-hmm. like, I've always just thought, you know, hey, I'm going to make this work no matter what and work harder than the next guy. And that's kind of how I've gotten as far as I've gotten. But yeah, anything I didn't really know a whole lot about, I would always find out the hard way what to do, what not to do. But I, you know, I'm surrounded by just really good people. Like I've got great, great installers, great employees. My installers, you know, really pick up the slack, and we never do a job without, you know, there being an inspection of sorts. We call it the meeting of the minds. Mm-hmm. So like if somebody's like, hey, I'm really interested, I like what you're doing, and I haven't horribly offended them or scared them off by the time they see my pricing, you know, we do this meeting of the minds, and that gives my team an opportunity to, you know, see the project, meet the customer, anticipate any issues. And it's gotten to the point where, you know, I didn't think it would get this far, but I mean, we're taking out load-bearing walls, we're replacing windows, we're doing flooring, cabinet, like I said earlier, the whole
thing. So you're full service.
It's full service, complete turnkey. But again, selfishly, like that's what I love about it. I can take what would be maybe a $10,000 cabinet job and turn it into, you know, a $60,000, $70,000 job when you're doing everything.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it's been great. And I mean, for the person like me that's OCD and OCD in a good way that likes to control everything, I think that's what the homeowner wants too, because they have one person to hold accountable, mm-hmm. one person to yell at if need be, one person to cry to. And I do, like, I know where your tile's at, I know where your flooring's at, I know when we're going to be delivering this or when we're going to be delivering that. So we're kind of quarterbacking the whole thing, but we're also unique because we're up front, the mm-hmm. creative, mm-hmm. you know, force, the creative, you know, entity that's starting the project. So it's a really unique situation where a lot of people will have to hire a contractor, and interior designer, mm-hmm. and like five different hands in
really
that.
Streamlines it.
But we just make it, you know.
Yeah, you almost sound like a general contractor when you're talking about touching all the different parts.
Well, that's not what I set out to be, but that's just kind of what it evolved into.
But it's so much easier for the homeowner when you've got a big project and you're managing eight different service providers.
Absolutely.
Having somebody in charge of the whole. So earlier what you said about 2008, was that kind of like the turning point you noticed about people not buying new, but fixing up what they already had?
Absolutely. Yeah. I did see a huge shift at that point, because mm-hmm. up until that point, I had been really catering to the builders.
Right.
New construction was my forte. And then that happened. And, you know, at the time we were just like, well, hey, we've got great installers. Why don't we why don't we do flooring? What's stopping us from doing flooring? We get asked all the time, can we do this? Can we do that? Like, why are we saying no to that?
Right.
So,
and that's, you know, just a natural progression if you're already doing it anyway. So, so you kind of grew your portfolio over time of what you could handle.
Yeah, it was out of necessity too. Like, I think a lot of them are like, hey, while you're here, can you do this, this, and this? Mm-hmm. And, you know, far be it for me to say no. I generally don't. Usually, unless it's outside work, we can do just about anything on the inside now. So, you know, the confidence, you know, right now is there, where maybe 15 years ago I was like, gosh, I don't even know what I'm doing at this point. But yes, to your earlier point, I have evolved somehow from a cabinet only guy to a general contractor. And I'm averaging 6 remodels just myself every month. And then I've got 2 designers that do what I do, who I have helped cultivate their installation teams so they don't overlap with my team. So between the two of them, you know, we're probably doing on average 10 to 12 remodels a month.
That's crazy. I had no idea you had that kind of volume.
Yeah, it's kind of insane. it really is. Yeah. I used to have a full head of hair when I started this. So, yeah, that's where that's gone.
I can't imagine managing all that. Like, just the materials. Just the materials either. Side seems like it would be like you would have to track so much stuff.
Thank you for saying that. Yes, you're exactly right. Like, it is completely time consuming and overwhelming. And if you don't love it, and if you're really not passionate about it, it will eat you alive and spit you up and chew you out. So, like, you first and foremost have to love what you do. I think that goes with anything. Otherwise, it's just a job, right?
Yeah.
But no, I'm passionate about the design. That's my favorite part. You know, I went to school for graphic design. I always wanted to do, you know, comic books for a living. So, somehow I got into this, instead. That's just life. But, there is still that creative aspect of it that appeals to me and is very rewarding. And then there's also that, you know, that other brain, that other part of your brain where you do like to control and organize. So for me, it's like the perfect job because I can do both. I get the best of both worlds, really. Yeah. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Can you walk me through like a design process? Mm-hmm. Like, say I was redoing my kitchen, what would that look like for a new client?
Yeah. Like they walk in off the street.
From like concept to installation.
Absolutely.
And they're like, what are you doing here by the train tracks? And you're like, well, here we go.
We get that. We get a lot of walk-ins just because of where we are located. Thankfully, that was one of the reasons I fell in love with the place, but
you did a great job with that building, by the way.
Yeah. Well, like, I love your building. This is great.
Oh, well, I didn't do anything. No, but you
can hire mock cabinets to come in.
Your building is like a little jewel right next to the tracks. It looks so nice.
Yeah, we got really lucky. I was actually just on a bike ride with my family. I knew I was going to be leaving Kanapke at the time. I just didn't know where. And so we saw that place and I saw the beams and the history and the exposed brick. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Was it a grocery? What was in there before? Like a little like bike shop or something?
No,
I forget what was in there.
It was Kilpatrick Heating and Air.
Heating and Air. Okay. Yeah, so it was a little AC in it.
And when did you move in there? What year was
2011.
That?
2011.
Okay.
May of 2011.
It's a beautiful little building.
I remember my first time ever going there. It was a Downtown Tip City Partnership. Some sort of event. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. Oh, and I was like,
what? And you were 5? How old were you?
No, I was not.
I always make fun of her age. Sorry. That's an inside joke.
I think I was like in college or something. Yeah.
12, 13 in there somewhere.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're exactly right. It's a charming building. Mm-hmm.
So people walk in off the street and they're like, first they gawk and they look around and then they're like, we need help with X. Mm-hmm. How do you approach a new walk-in customer?
So whether it's a walk-in or referral or, you know, they saw us on social media or billboard, whatever, there's a process that I've tried to create and cultivate, which, you know, the first thing is there's somebody at the front desk. Her name's Jamie. She does an outstanding job. She's like the face of the company.
Jamie's awesome.
Yeah, I
really like her.
I like Jamie. Jamie's all right. She's good people.
She's great.
So, you know, the nice thing about Jamie being the face of the company, you want somebody that's friendly, energetic. They feel like they accomplished something when they walked in, because I always hate it when I go somewhere and I'm like, well, that was a whole huge waste of my time. So, you know, even if they're really not sure what they want to do, we want them to feel like they did get something accomplished. So there's a lead sheet. That's the first thing. And the lead sheet just kind of, you know, obviously has their name, address, things like that. But it also asks like pointed questions, like, how did you hear about us? Cause I like to track that stuff. And then, you know, some quick details about the job, like, is it a kitchen? Is it a bathroom? And then she fills that out, shows them around, and then she lets them know that, hey, a designer will be reaching out to you, whether it's Aaron or Jennifer or Christina, all three of us are designers. And then she sends it to me and it just kind of gets funneled through me. So like what I'll do, I'll take that lead sheet. Let's say we get 3 or 4 a week. I'll balance it out and say, okay, I gave Jen 2 this week and Christina 1. So maybe I'm going to give Christina this next one, or maybe I'm going to take it. Sometimes I take it solely based on the geography. Jen tends to go south. I tend to stay in Tip and Troy. Christina goes up north to like Versailles, Rushi, things like that. So if they live in, let's say, Rushi, I'll probably give that to Christina. Or one of the questions is, again, how did you hear about us? They may say, well, Aaron did my sister's kitchen. Well, then I'm going to take that because mm-hmm. I feel like I earned that mm-hmm. right for that lead.
How far do you guys go?
Well, it's funny you say that. Generally, we try, the sweet spot is like 35, 40 mile radius. But again, far be it for me to turn down a job.
Knoxville.
Believe it or not, I mean, I do jobs in Columbus a lot for a certain builder. I've gone all the way to Longboat Key, Florida for a certain builder.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
I was making a joke when I said Knoxville, but it sounds like you do travel.
I've gone further, yeah.
You do travel.
I've gone further. But yeah, no, I mean, that has its own set of difficulties too. But
yeah, I would think sourcing from people you don't work with a lot would
exactly,
be interesting.
Right? Because then you can't just go down the street and check on it, mm-hmm. like unless you drive 15 hours to Longboat Key. But yeah. But no, I mean, we'll go wherever.
Hold up the phone and hit record. Walk around. Show me what it looks like. Yeah.
Yeah. This is where FaceTime comes into play. No, but I mean, so that's the infancy stage, right? Like that's the introduction to Mock. And then we reach out to them. One of us designers will do that. And so then you schedule a time to get to see them at the house. You take pictures, you get measurements, which is the most important thing. And then you kind of feel them out like on their style. You see the home. If they've got like a real, you know, traditional home, you kind of know like, okay, this is the style. I'm going to recommend this for the cabinetry. If they live in a loft in downtown Dayton, well, then you're going to go a different way, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be more clean and Definitely. It's going to be more simple. So I think, you know, taking the pictures, getting the measurements, kind of trying to feel them out and get inside their head as to what their expectations are.
Welcome to the Downtown Lowdown, brought to you by the Downtown Tip City Partnership. I'm your host, Tasha Weaver, Executive Director of the Downtown Tip City Partnership. Each episode, I'll share what's happening downtown and introduce you to the people, stories, and energy behind it all. This is just the beginning. Be sure to subscribe where you listen to your podcast and turn those notifications on so you'll be in the know. We'll be back every Wednesday with more stories, event sneak peeks, interviews with business owners, and updates you won't want to miss. Welcome to the Downtown Lowdown, brought to you by the Downtown Tip City Partnership. I'm your host, Tasha Weaver, Executive Director of the Downtown Tip City Partnership. Each episode, I'll share what's happening downtown and introduce you to the people, stories, and energy behind it all. Be sure to subscribe where you listen to your podcast and turn those notifications on so you'll be in the know.
Welcome to the Ultimate Unwind. This is Grego, my Lego. No rush here. Just building, relaxing, and talking Lego. Subscribe now to Grego My Lego on YouTube, where every build tells a story. Whether you're a builder, a collector, or just love the sound of a brick clicking into place, take a break with Grego My Lego. The Slow Build Lego Show. With honest reviews, total relaxation, and the best long-form builds around. Subscribe to Grego My Lego on YouTube today. The show where you don't just see the final model. You watch it come to life. In a world that moves too fast sometimes, you just want to slow down. This is Grego, My Lego. The slow build Lego show where you don't just see the final model. You watch it come to life. Subscribe to Grego My Lego on YouTube, where every build tells a story. Looking for the real stories behind your community? Tune in to Newsmakers, the podcast that brings the Tippecanoe Gazette to life. Hosted by Greg Enslin, Newsmakers dives into exclusive interviews with local business owners, community leaders, and event organizers, giving you a front row seat to what's happening in Tip City, Ohio. Your community, your stories, your podcast. Newsmakers, available wherever you get your podcasts. Looking to stay in the know about everything happening right here in Tip City, Ohio? Then tune in to Newsmakers, a local podcast hosted by Greg Enslin in partnership with the Tippecanoe Gazette. Each week, Greg sits down with the people making things happen in Tip City. From business owners to event organizers and volunteers, Newsmakers brings you the inside scoop. Subscribe today, wherever you get your podcasts. Looking for the latest scoop on what's happening right here in Tip City, Ohio? Then tune in to Newsmakers, the podcast where local stories come to life. Hosted by Greg Enslin in proud partnership with the Tippecanoe Gazette, Newsmakers brings you face-to-face with the people shaping our community. Subscribe today on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen. Your town. Your stories. Your podcast.
Welcome to the Spectre Sisters, your portal into the unexplainable,
the unknown,
and the undeniably strange.
Whether you're a skeptic, unbeliever, or just along for the ride, Spectre Sisters is your go-to hub for everything weird, wild, and wonderfully unexplained.
So light a candle, keep your mind open, and remember, not everything strange is supernatural.
But some of it just might be.
Welcome to the Spectre Sisters, your portal into the unexplainable,
the unknown,
and the undeniably strange.
Each week, your hosts will guide you through chilling true accounts of possible paranormal encounters, bizarre events, and local legends that blur the line between fact and fiction. But we're not here just to spook. We shine a flashlight on the dark corners, question everything, and peel back the layers to find the truth, or at least try.
Welcome to the Spectre Sisters, your portal into the unexplainable,
the unknown,
and the undeniably strange.
From haunted houses and cryptid sightings to eerie coincidences and unsolved mysteries, the Spectre Sisters are on a mission to investigate it all with logic, curiosity, and just the right amount of goosebumps.
Welcome to the twilight between sound and screen. Lo-fi chill meets celluloid dreams. Press play and fade away. Only on Synthwave Cinema. This isn't just a vibe, it's a memory. Every week, DJ Menegroth drops deep cuts and cinematic textures, the kind of beats you imagine playing behind sunsets, streetlights, and stolen movie moments. From sci-fi streetscapes to high school heartbreak, if it belonged on a tape, it's here. Synthwave Cinema, streaming wherever dreamers drift. Welcome to Synthwave Cinema, where iconic movie lines meet the chillest beats in the galaxy. A cinematic sound journey. Music reimagined through neon sound. All vibes, no spoilers. Catch the wave. Join the show. Now, streaming on YouTube, Spotify, and wherever chill beats thrive.
So tell us about the Village Idiots podcast, Zoe.
Tune in because we talk about lots of different topics. I have a vast and wide array of knowledge. And we all know the moon landing was fake.
For next season of Village Idiots, canceled edition. Am I right or am I like- right?
So tell me, what is the Village Idiots podcast about, Abby?
It takes a village to raise an idiot.
That's a different voice. I was expecting.
If you like to laugh, I can't guarantee we will make you laugh.
I might make you laugh. We might make you cry.
A real review. And the review was, it's not that funny.
No.
Oh, hi, everybody. Tune in to the Village Idiots podcast, please. Come to my clubhouse.
Why?
Spotify.
Mickey,
YouTube.
Are you having
Apple,
a stroke?
Apple Music.
Apple Podcasts, I think, yeah.
Mickey's different personalities are coming over.
Hey, welcome to the Village Idiots podcast. On this show, youngs and olds compete for verbal domination of a small town in Ohio. Actually, Village Idiots is two youngs and an old talking about pop culture, movies, music, and other topics. Generation Zers Zoe and Abby talk about things that Greg doesn't understand, like TikTok and Riz, while old-timer Greg explains the ancient times before iPhones and Facebook. Tune in today to find out what they'll talk about next.
Expectations are and what, you know, they're wanting you to include is all part of that initial meeting. And then I'm always quick to point out, like I did earlier in this podcast, is, you know, hey, we can take all the pain away. We can be your GC. We can be your main supplier. So you just have one check to write, one person to call. And so that's not something that's really well known. And I kind of did that on purpose too, because, you know, I could have changed the name Mock Cabinets by design at any point in time. I could say it's Mock General Contracting at this point, but I feel like initially why I kept it the cabinets and focused on that, I didn't want to like turn anybody off that was a contractor that wanted to buy cabinets from me, because then they do look at you as kind of like a threat, like you're a competitor.
Competition. For
sure. Exactly. So, you know, but once I'm in the door, like all bets are off.
Yeah. Yeah. So. No, and it's such a huge benefit for an end user to be able to just say, here, like you said, one check.
Well, and for us, it's easier too, believe it or not, because if I'm working with Sally's brother's, you know, neighbor, who's an electrician, he might not do things the way that we would normally do them. And now he's holding us up and we want to.
Or legally. Efficient. Yeah. He may not even be following the rules
exactly.
or whatever.
No, like it's that. Valid. Yeah. You're right. That's exactly right. So like working with my own team, we can kind of finish each other's sentences. Right. It's the same plumber. It's the same electrician. Again, that familiarity is. It's just built in. So,
and it's more efficient.
It's way more efficient. Yeah. We know that, okay, the electrician's going to have to trench the ceiling here to get all the cans where we want them.
I don't know what any of those words mean.
My guy's going to have to do the drywall, where somebody else might not do that and they might not lay it out the same way we would. And it tends to make more work for us and it tends to take a longer period of time.
Meredith, do you usually trench the ceiling?
No, I've never.
Well, essentially what that means, I can go into the details on that, but no, we cut a lot of holes. So cutting a hole in the ceiling sometimes is what we have to do to get from point A to point B, but we know what to expect from each other.
You know how long it takes. Mm-hmm. You know the materials they're going to need, and you can kind of guesstimate, I would assume, the schedule.
Yeah,
because you're working with your people. Other people come in, and they're like, that's not how we do it.
No, that's so true. And, you know, it's evolved over the years. I mean, we're constantly refining it and, you know, I'm trying to organize things so that people are getting communication. But, you know, let's just say for the sake of argument that meeting of the minds goes really well. And they have met my people. My people have anticipated any issues. Because I 1099 my people, they're subcontractors. Mm. They are paid by the job, right?
Yeah.
So that means if, you know, they want to talk about the Bengals with you for an hour, that's on them. That's not taking anything away from me right. or you. They're getting paid by the job. And it's a kind of a built-in self-motivator because whether we all want to really admit it or not, you know, especially my guys, they're very friendly. So if you're paid by the hour, it's like, well, I'll just come back to that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right? And if you're paid by the job, it's like, oh gosh, you know, I got to stay late or I got to come in on Saturday to get this done because Aaron's got me starting a new one on Monday, right?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a motivator that I've found. And then I also know like where my profit's at the whole way through.
Yeah.
And the customer can rest assured too because they know that, hey, Aaron's pricing's not changing.
Right.
So I love doing it that way. And it's the same people. Like I'm not testing somebody new out on your project, Meredith.
Yeah.
You're not my guinea pig. Like I am using.
He's never done a roof before, but I'm sure he'll do a great job.
I have not. You're right, actually. Yeah. That's one thing
roofers. Oof, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, you got me on that one. Mm-mm. I try to stay.
You said inside.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The outside
stuff. You're on a back porch.
No, but I actually just got asked if I could do one before I walked in here.
There you go.
Yeah, that's funny.
It's funny. Carly Amlin just texted me and said, hey, do you know anybody that does, do you guys do back porches? I'm like, no, I really don't. I mean, I do,
but
like we don't.
Hold on. Maybe. Hang on.
Yeah. No. Well, so, I mean, that's part of it too. Like you got to know your limits and we're that busy right now that it's like, okay, we have no business. Like, doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right now, don't get me wrong. There are some things like if I'm doing a new window and I got to do a little bit of patching outside, I'm not saying we won't do anything outside,
yeah.
But to the point where we're having to get a permit or doing an addition or something like that, we just kind of draw the line there. But I'm usually very, you know, quick to refer somebody if somebody does ask that. But, you know, going back to what you're saying, as far as I think overall our process, it's very, very streamlined. Like it's, you know, A, B, C, D, E. So like once we do the meeting of the minds, then we've got the final numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I may go up on the electric after that meeting. I may go down. I may go up on the plumbing. It may go down. But I'm basing my allowances off of past projects.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a novel idea, right? Like I'm going to not just make up a number out of thin air. I'm going to say, oh, well, this job is very similar to another one that I did 3 months ago, right? So I'm going to use what their pricing ended up being because I know they just did it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use it for Meredith's you know, allowance. And so that's kind of how I start everybody out. It all ends up leading to one total price, but I try to do it a la carte so they can see, oh, here's the cabinets, here's the plumbing, here's the countertops. And then we just keep refining it and kind of whacking away at it until there are no longer any allowances.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end goal. Like, I don't want any more allowances in my quote. I want you to know eventually this is where we're at and we're not budging unless you add something.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, once that process has been completed, you know, I'll help them pick out their cabinetry, their finishes for the door style, the cabinet finish in general. And then obviously it goes hand in hand with the tile and the countertops and the flooring. So we try to help them in house as much as we can.
Yeah.
And that's why I have the showroom that I do, but sometimes there's only so much room. So I'll send them to my supplier in Columbus for countertops and they'll see bigger.
Yeah. Your showroom's beautiful. Have you been, Greg?
Mm.
Oh yeah.
That's where I get my tickets for the pub crawl.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Who hasn't been to his showroom?
Who hasn't been there?
Right.
And seen the chocolate fountain, fondue fountain?
Yes, my wife.
It's like the downtown headquarters for events.
I appreciate you saying, I love where we're located. It's like, seriously, one of the best things about that showroom is it's just in this amazing spot. right at the beginning of town. And so for any of those events, I just think it's a great place to begin.
For sure.
And most people end their night there too. but yeah, I'll take that. I'll be known for, the beer crawls and the chocolate walks. That's fine. It's
not a problem. Yeah. Well, you're so involved in the community and we're so grateful for your support. And I know so many organizations, nonprofits especially, are grateful for your support.
Yeah, absolutely.
How has being a chamber member helped impact your business?
Oh, that was the first thing I did, actually. Yeah.
Amazing.
It really was. I'm not joking. Like, it's not lip service. So when I first got to TIP in 2011, a really good friend of mine, Sharon Elaine.
Oh, yeah.
Went to high school with Sharon.
For sure, yeah.
From Sharon Elaine Photography. She was in TIP at the time, and I just said, like, hey, you're the only one I know in TIP. So what is, as somebody new who knows nobody, like, who should I know? What should I do? And she like ran down the list of names of people that, I don't know what that list is anymore, but,
I'd be interested.
It's probably changed. But yeah, no, she said, get involved, network. And she's like, you know, if you can be a part of the chamber, like that is a great way to get to know people that are in different, industries and different professions than you are. So I did right away, got a hold of Liz, and that sparked, that 7-year relationship.
Yeah. And you were on the board and you were president, right?
At one point. I don't know.
Wow. You got serious about it.
Yeah. I know. Well, it's funny. Cause like, I didn't really know that was a stipulation. Like Liz just told me like, hey, next year you're going to be, and I'm like, oh, okay. But, no, it was great. As you get older, you're like, and I think as a business owner too, the more time has gone by, I'm like, well, what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
Like, I could fail miserably at this and be really embarrassed, but yeah, okay, whatever. If that's the worst thing that happens this week, then so be it. But no, I was at one point in time when I was in high school, I used to let that kind of stuff bother me, but now I'm like, what's the worst that can happen? I'll be on the board. I'll give it my shot and I will, I'll learn a lot and hopefully listen and pay attention enough to learn a lot.
And we tried to get you back on the board. I mean, that tells me how well you did. But right now he's so busy.
Yeah, too busy.
You're too busy. Yeah. I want to hear.
That's a nice problem to have.
Yeah. Tell us about long-term goals. Obviously, your business is just growing immensely.
It is growing. Every year, just exponentially, it just gets a little bit bigger. But no, I think COVID was kind of was a turning point for us too, because our business doubled overnight during COVID. Mm. I mean, when you think about it, it's like the perfect storm. You have
everyone wanted to remodel.
Yeah.
You couldn't leave your house. So people had to come to you with the stuff. Yeah.
That's exactly right. You couldn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. You're getting this free money, but you can't really go anywhere to spend it.
Right.
And then you're using your stuff more. People were cooking at home more and just using their stuff. So that really helped us from the standpoint that there was a huge need and a huge void to fill. And I hired more designers and installers as a result of that. And, I thought as time went on, that would kind of dissipate, but that's kind of like everything in our world. Mm-hmm. That's become the new norm. So I've kind of, just stayed, in that general plateau. And every year since then, we've just gone up a little bit more. But no, it's a great problem to have. And I think As I get older, like we've got a son that's 26, we've got a daughter that's 19 at OU, and our youngest is 17. He'll be going to Miami probably.
Is that where you visited last week?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, very impressive. I had never been to Miami before.
Yeah, it's a beautiful campus.
Really impressed. Yeah, so I think he kind of fell in love with that. We'll see. He still has a year yet, but once that year is over and we are faced with that reality that we are empty nesters and we're just staring at each other what do you want to do, I feel like then I'll have a little bit more time to devote to the chamber and more of the events, whether it's Rotary or Downtown Partnership. Yeah. There's just a lot of things that I'm curious about and would like to maybe revisit or learn more about. So, but right now, working 75, 80 hours a week, it's really difficult.
Completely understandable, yeah.
Yeah, and then making sure that you're part of this event for your for your son or your daughter. And,
absolutely.
But as time goes on, we find that we do have more time to devote. So, yeah, that's that, in the long term, that's kind of where I see things going.
Yeah.
Just with my relationship with the downtown. Mm. And then as a business... My Lord, I have no idea. My daughter, you know, she's at OU for business. I would love for her to actually, you know, step in at some point and at least help me manage it.
That'd be awesome.
That would be amazing. I mean, I think anybody that owns a business, like that's your, you're not doing it for practice. Mm-hmm. You know, you're kind of doing it hopefully so that one day somebody will take it over.
That's like the dream.
Yeah. And if not, you know, we'll go from there too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's my ideal scenario.
That's interesting. You brought up the empty nesters. Do you find that to be one of your bigger clients? Just people that have now three extra bedrooms they didn't know they had. And
that's
they're
a
like,
good point.
We're putting in a pickleball court or something.
We haven't done
Have you ever done that yet?
Yeah, not yet. There is a first.
That's your new area you're expanding into. Indoor sports arenas.
I did say I could do indoor stuff. You're right. No, we haven't done that yet, but, you're right. That's a very good point, Greg. Like we get a lot of people that they've reached that milestone that the kids are gone and now they're like, hey, I've been wanting this kitchen for 20 some years and it's finally here. And so, yeah, a lot of our customers are people, they're folks that have been in the house a while. They've reached that plateau, that milestone, and they're ready to do that.
Right. Let's have something fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right. What's one piece of advice you'd give to someone considering a renovation or custom cabinetry project?
Well, I think
if use Aaron Mock.
Yeah.
Is that like the rule? Number
besides
one,
that's the obvious.
That would be the obvious.
Yeah, obvious.
Come to me for the work. Yeah. I mean, duh.
Clearly that's the first step. just going to see Mock Cabinets at 131 West Main Street, City, Ohio.
You guys have a phone number?
937-506-8655.
Oh.
We'll include that in the show notes.
Yeah. Okay, good. Absolutely. It's good to mention it every once in a while.
Yeah. It's not going to hurt.
Quick plug.
No, I mean, besides that, of course, I think just keeping an open mind and trusting the process.
Mm.
I have learned over the years that there's people, eventually we earn that trust, but some easier than others, but I think there's just a lot of people that have been burned, unfortunately, by really shady contractors or people that took their money but didn't show up. And it just baffles me because, you know, I'll be at work till 10 o'clock at night because I told somebody I would get them a design that night. And then I hear horror stories about, I called this person or that person and they just never called me back. And, I'm not saying, you know, we're perfect by any means. But you know, I just feel like, especially with me having my name on the building and the sign and the trucks and and everything, like I take
very personal.
It's very personal. I take it to a whole nother level sometimes, unfortunately. and I can't let it go, but I feel like if there is any advice, it's okay. Get two or three quotes, you know, and never tell somebody what your budget is. And learn to eventually trust that person. I think you're buying not only the cabinets or the flooring or what have you, you're buying really into that, not to be corny, but you're buying that person, right?
Yeah.
You're buying into that person.
Yeah.
The relationship.
The relationship has to be there and trust has to be there. And I don't know how many times I say that in the course of a week, but like, hey, just trust the process. We've done this before. We know like the order in which things need to go. And 99% of my clients do. And you get that 1% that's just a nervous Nelly and you'll have that. But
why are you putting that over there? Well, you want to get to the end of this process, hopefully, and like who you used enough to consider using them again in the future. And I've had contractors in the past where I'm like, delete that phone number from my phone book, because the cost doubled or whatever. And you're like, oh, thanks. That's great. Once you have the wall open, what am I going to do with that? You know,
it's valid. No. I consider it like one of the best forms or, you know, a compliment, I guess, is when a past customer reaches back out.
Or a recommendation for somebody else. For sure. I mean, they're not going to put their name on that and be like, oh, yeah, you should definitely call this person unless they like the work that they got. So that's a huge deal.
It really is. I mean, I'm doing a job in Eaton right now for a customer. I did her kitchen, I want to say 10 years ago. One of the first ones we did when we opened up, so I guess it's been longer than 10 years, but regardless, I just found it to be a huge compliment. She's having us, you know, redo all of her flooring, and she's having us do a master bathroom project. I love that because, you know, she could have called anybody. Obviously there's people in Eaton, I'm sure, Englewood, that are closer. But she chose us, you know, and I love that.
Yeah, it's great validation for your work and for your organization if people call you back.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it happens the longer we've been around. You know, it's funny, the ones that are, this has happened a couple times. I've done a kitchen remodel for some.
Welcome to the Downtown Lowdown, brought to you by the Downtown Tip City Partnership. I'm your host, Tasha Weaver, Executive Director of the Downtown Tip City Partnership. Each episode, I'll share what's happening downtown and introduce you to the people, stories, and energy behind it all. This is just the beginning. Be sure to subscribe where you listen to your podcast and turn those notifications on so you'll be in the know. We'll be back every Wednesday with more stories, event sneak peeks, interviews with business owners, and updates you won't want to miss. Welcome to the Downtown Lowdown, brought to you by the Downtown Tip City Partnership. I'm your host, Tasha Weaver, Executive Director of the Downtown Tip City Partnership. Each episode, I'll share what's happening downtown and introduce you to the people, stories, and energy behind it all. Be sure to subscribe where you listen to your podcast and turn those notifications on so you'll be in the know.
Welcome to the Ultimate Unwind. This is Grego, my Lego. No rush here. Just building, relaxing, and talking Lego. Subscribe now to Grego My Lego on YouTube, where every build tells a story. Whether you're a builder, a collector, or just love the sound of a brick clicking into place, take a break with Grego My Lego, the slow build Lego show. With honest reviews, total relaxation, and the best long-form builds around. Subscribe to Grego My Lego on YouTube today. The show where you don't just see the final model. You watch it come to life. In a world that moves too fast sometimes, you just want to slow down. This is Grego My Lego. Slow build Lego show where you don't just see the final model, you watch it come to life. Subscribe to Grego My Lego on YouTube, where every build tells a story. Looking for the real stories behind your community? Tune in to Newsmakers, the podcast that brings the Tippecanoe Gazette to life. Hosted by Greg Enslin, Newsmakers dives into exclusive interviews with local business owners, community leaders, and event organizers, giving you a front row seat to what's happening in Tip City, Ohio. Your community, your stories, your podcast. Newsmakers, available wherever you get your podcasts. Looking to stay in the know about everything happening right here in Tip City, Ohio? Then tune in to Newsmakers, a local podcast hosted by Greg Enslin in partnership with the Tippecanoe Gazette. Each week, Greg sits down with the people making things happen in Tip City. From business owners to event organizers and volunteers, Newsmakers brings you the inside scoop. Subscribe today, wherever you get your podcasts. Looking for the latest scoop on what's happening right here in Tip City, Ohio? Then tune in to Newsmakers, the podcast where local stories come to life. Hosted by Greg Enslin in proud partnership with the Tippecanoe Gazette, Newsmakers brings you face to face with the people shaping our community. Subscribe today on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen. Your town, your stories, your podcast.
Welcome to the Spectre Sisters, your portal into the unexplainable,
the unknown,
and the undeniably strange.
Whether you're a skeptic, unbeliever, or just along for the ride, Spectre Sisters is your go-to hub for everything weird, wild, and wonderfully unexplained.
So light a candle, keep your mind open, and remember, not everything strange is supernatural.
But some of it just might be.
Welcome to the Spectre Sisters, your portal into the unexplainable,
the unknown,
and the undeniably strange.
Each week, your hosts will guide you through chilling true accounts of possible paranormal encounters, bizarre events, and local legends that blur the line between fact and fiction. But we're not here just to spook. We shine a flashlight on the dark corners, question everything, and peel back the layers to find the truth, or at least try.
Welcome to the Spectre Sisters, your portal into the unexplainable,
the unknown,
and the undeniably strange.
From haunted houses and cryptid sightings to eerie coincidences and unsolved mysteries, the Spectre Sisters are on a mission to investigate it all with logic, curiosity, and just the right amount of goosebumps.
Welcome to the Twilight Between Sound and Screen. Lo-fi chill meets celluloid dreams. Press play and fade away. Only on Synthwave Cinema. This isn't just a vibe, it's a memory.
3, 2, 1.
Every week, DJ Menegroth drops deep cuts and cinematic textures, the kind of beats you imagine playing behind sunsets, streetlights, and stolen movie moments. From sci-fi streetscapes to high school heartbreak, if it belonged on a tape, it's here. Synthwave Cinema, streaming wherever dreamers drift. Welcome to Synthwave Cinema, where iconic movie lines meet the chillest beats in the galaxy. A cinematic sound journey, music reimagined through neon sound. All vibes, no spoilers. Catch the wave, join the show. Now, streaming on YouTube, Spotify, and wherever chill beats thrive.
So tell us about the Village Idiots podcast, Zoe.
Tune in because we talk about lots of different topics. I have a vast and wide array of knowledge.
And we all know the moon landing was fake.
Next season of Village Idiots, canceled edition. Am I right or am I right?
So tell me, what is the Village Idiots podcast about, Abby?
It takes a village to raise an idiot.
That's a different voice than I was expecting.
If you like to laugh, I can't guarantee we will make you laugh.
We might make you laugh. We might make you cry.
A real review. And the review was, it's not that funny.
No.
Oh, hi, everybody. Tune in to the Village Idiots podcast, please. Come to my clubhouse.
Why?
Spotify.
Mickey,
YouTube,
are you having
Apple
a stroke?
Apple Music.
Apple Podcasts, I think, yeah.
Mickey's different personalities are coming over.
Hey, welcome to the Village Idiots podcast. On this show, youngs and olds compete for verbal domination of a small town in Ohio. Actually, Village Idiots is two youngs and an old talking about pop culture, movies, music, and other topics. Generation Zers Zoe and Abby talk about things that Greg doesn't understand, like TikTok and Riz, while old-timer Greg explains the ancient times before iPhones and Facebook. Tune in today to find out what they'll talk about next.
somebody when I was at Kanapke, let's say 20 years ago, and now they're having me redo the kitchen again.
That's funny.
Like, that's when you know you've been doing it.
You've looped all the way around, yeah. back around yeah. to them. That's funny.
And I will, and I'll look at it and be like, what the
this
hell?
Is so familiar.
Yeah.
Have I been here before? Wait, yeah. what?
Well, it's that and also that deja vu, but it's like, what was I thinking? Like, why in the world did I recommend
you didn't that? Trench that kit, that I ceiling.
Didn't yeah.
Why didn't you trench the ceiling with the cans?
Should have done that.
I don't know about the cans.
Rookie mistake.
Oh boy. Well, you'll learn.
Yeah. Speaking of, I was actually going to ask you, what trends are you currently seeing?
So like right now,
pickleball, a lot
pickleball.
Of pickleball, yeah, indoor pickleball
that into kitchens now.
Yeah. I mean, you've clearly probably seen them all. If you're having, you're redoing someone's kitchen that you did years ago.
Yeah. It's kind of, it's funny. It's
yeah. Like, what's trendy.
And then, yeah. How circle. Do you know? Yeah. Like, is this really just trendy or is this timeless?
That is honestly one of the number one questions we even ask ourselves, because nobody's Nostradamus that works for me, right? We don't have a crystal ball. But what I have found is if there is a trend, it's to not be trendy, right? People want to be timeless.
Yeah.
And so the best way to do that is to give them something, I think, that's a little bit more, I don't want to say generic, but safe. So that's why white is still really, really popular right now. But I will say this, like, we're doing a lot of white kitchen still, but we'll infuse it with some sort of warmer stain. So I'm seeing like a lot of quarter sawn white oak, a stain, just to give it some of that warmth, as opposed to the grays that we were doing a lot of years ago. And don't get me wrong, we're still doing some grays here or there, but I think we're seeing the trend shift a little bit more back to the stains, which makes me smile because I love stain. And it, you know, for years, that's all I was doing was like white and gray, white and gray, white and gray. And that gets a little, it gets a little old.
I bet you're excited when you bust out of that vibe and you're like job 12 in a row. And then you're like, oh, these people want, you know, paisley or whatever. And you're like, yes, thank you.
Yes. I would love to do
khaki. I can do a khaki kitchen. Yes, I can.
But no, you're to your point, like every now and then it happens and somebody's like, oh, I want to do like a hickory kitchen, or I want to do rustic alder, or I want to do quarter sawn oak. And I love that. It doesn't happen often enough, but no, I would say right now the trend is, you know, you still want to keep things as timeless as possible. No way to guarantee that.
Yeah.
So you know that white is going to go with anything. White and black. Those are the two primary colors. And I can really make anything work with that. Whether it's flooring, your brown couch that you got from your grandfather, like whatever. I'm going to make that work with white. But where we can have some fun with it is maybe in the floating shelves. Maybe those are stained. Maybe the island is also stained to match those floating shelves. Or the hood is stained, right? So that's where you can kind of put your own little spin on it. Tile backsplash really helps a lot too. We're seeing a lot of quartz. We're not doing as much granite as we used to. And I'll give you the Reader's Digest version of it. But quartz is, you know, it's just a man-made, it's a man-made countertop. Has all of the same, for the most part, properties as granite. Indestructibility, heat resistance, things like that. But it looks more like marble. So you're going to get like a white countertop a lot of times with some gray veining or some brown veining. But the benefit of it is you don't have to seal it, right? So that appeals to a lot of people because they like the practicality of it. And so I think, you know, that coupled with a smart, you know, tile backsplash and some warm flooring, there again, we're doing a lot of, I mean, 90% of my jobs, I'm doing flooring. So we're doing a lot of LVP, which is a luxury vinyl plank, and it looks like wood, but it's 100% waterproof. So that's something that a lot of people are really, you know, kind of, I think, looking for, is something that's attractive, but is less maintenance. I think as we get older, all of us, that's where our head is at. What can I do to make my life easier? What can I do to make less maintenance? So no, I think those are the, like, the trends that I'm seeing, which a lot of that, ironically, you know, goes back to the whole less is more motif. I literally just took 7 vanity displays out of my showroom last week, and I put 7 new vanity displays in. And they were like, in a weird way, it was kind of like seeing some of my kids go. Like, I put these babies in, and like,
I miss you.
I know. It made me really sad. But I, you know, I put them in 2011. So, wow. 14 years later, I'm like, oh, I'm seeing this go, but it has to, because I'm not selling that anymore.
Yeah.
So the trends have changed. It's moved relevant. Away from that.
Yeah.
And having them there is just a waste of space, probably.
Exactly. And it's a missed opportunity, because I want to show these things that I am getting asked about that are relevant.
Yeah.
But likewise, it doesn't even have to be 14 years. I took a display out, was it last year, that was only a few years old, just because in those 3 or 4 short years, it was already irrelevant. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's how quickly I think trends can change. And there's this old adage that if you just wait long enough, that style
it comes
will come
back in style.
Yeah, it's like a boomerang.
It's like fashion. Yeah.
Well, I mean, look at brass. Like brass, huge right now. Like I'm doing so much brass. Now it's not your mom and dad's brass. It's not like polished brass. It's satin brass. Mm. It's a brushed brass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's a little bit more hip and edgy in that regard. But yeah, no, I mean, that's the fun thing about my job is like, there really is never a dull moment. You know, you're just constantly adapting to what people are asking you for and what you're seeing, from your colleagues and on social media. And I think that's why we do try to do so much on social media. For example, every Thursday we post pictures of a new project. And so I've just done it that way since we opened. And I only wanted to do it once a week because I didn't want it to be like Candy Crush where people were like, ugh, that's another one of those kitchens.
Great. Another one.
Ignore. But they're beautiful.
I love looking at them.
They are.
Yeah, you can post more.
Well, I appreciate it. I think it's just we've gotten into this habit where it's okay, Thursdays are social media and we're going to, you know, I've got it mapped out for the most part. Like I know what jobs I'm going to post, but what's beautiful about that is it's segregated by the job name. So like if somebody says, hey, I really like that countertop you did on the Westerheide job, then I can go back and look that up and they've got our portfolio for the last, you know, 14 years, which is cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. My final question. Yeah. I want to know for an inspiring entrepreneur, any lessons you've learned along the way that you'd like to share?
Oh, wow. Several lessons. As far as being an entrepreneur, like I knew that I loved this job and I knew that, you know, with a lot of hard work, you know, I could make it happen. So I feel like don't be afraid is probably the first thing. Like, don't let your fear or your doubt, get the better of you. Like you really, not to sound like a commercial or cheesy,
no, this is good.
You really can do whatever you want to do. You just have to put in the time. Mm. And I try to, you know, instill that in my kids. Like, look, I did not finish college, right? Life happened. Mm. We had our 26-year-old.
Yeah.
And you know, I was going to be a comic book artist, right? I got accepted to the Savannah School of Art and Design.
Gosh, wow.
Like I was going in a whole nother direction, and then I had to get like a real job, and it just happened to be in this industry.
Mm.
And I just saw the opportunity to draw and be creative, and all I really wanted to do was draw for a little, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like number one, love what you do.
Yeah.
Because then it's obviously it's not
like, doesn't feel like work.
Doesn't feel like work, yeah. But don't let anyone tell you you can't, you know, try to really overcome the fears and any kind of self-doubt you have.
Try new things.
Try new things.
Yeah, because you've got to take the risks. Because that's how you find out what you like.
Well, and it is. I mean, it's a gamble. Like nothing's guaranteed in this world at all. But yeah, if you don't mind the thing is there's always that potential to fail, right? Yeah. In anything you do. But I've worked 50 different jobs in my lifetime. I've been a pizza delivery guy. I worked at a drive-thru. Like I've done it all, right? I really have. and so like one common denominator has always remained. I do not like working for somebody else. Mm-hmm. Now, if that is your makeup and you want to go home every day at 4 o'clock and leave it at work, fantastic. Stay in your lane, do what you're doing. That's fantastic. I was just never one of those people. I have to be doing something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I mean, for me, this was the right avenue. It might not be for anyone else or everyone, but for anyone that does want to branch out, do their own thing, you got to really be passionate about it. And I think you have to love it. Mm-hmm. That's the first and foremost thing, really.
Absolutely.
Are you going to ask me what I do? What I recommend for new
great.
Business
what
owners?
What would you recommend for an aspiring entrepreneur?
Stay up with your invoicing. You got to get those invoices out. I'm so bad at it.
Don't fall behind.
I'm so bad at it. And so now I have two people that do that. And mm-hmm. they're like, yeah, we were billing for something that hasn't even run in the paper yet. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You can do that? I didn't know you could do that.
But it's all about delegating.
And I you got to find good people.
Yeah.
And then let them do their thing.
Well, that's something my wife has like been harping on me on for years. And she was completely right. You don't need to do it all. Just because you can clean the showroom doesn't mean you should be cleaning.
But you're OCD. That if you're a business owner and entrepreneur, you want to do it all because you want it to be done right, mm-hmm. right? And then I have other people do stuff, they do it better. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You can do that?
It's possible.
It is. If you can find good people, they can do it. And they're like, what if we tried it this way? And I'm like, and then they do it and it's better. And you're like, yeah.
No, that's a great point, Greg. Yeah. It took me a long time to figure that out, delegating and just
it's scary.
Letting it go.
Yeah, it's scary.
Because it was just me and one other person 14 years ago that started, this thing. And now it's evolved into what it is. And we have, 7 employees. And I've had to, over the years, just like, okay, I'm going to let a little piece of that go. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to let this piece go. And I'm going to let that piece go. And I'm going to trust that, to your point, these people that I've hired are gonna do it right, and they do. And and sometimes you're right; they do it better than
you could have. I sometimes forget there's other people and that they have brains of their own, right? <Yeah. laughs> So I'm like, okay, I need you to do it just like this. So then they do it, and then they do it that way for a while, and then I'm like, okay, good, you're doing it great job. And then they'll come back with, well, what if we did this other thing? And I'm like, I would never have thought of that.
Yeah. No, it's collaborative. I mean, it has to be. Otherwise, you're just gonna, live a sad.
Well, you're gonna keep your hands in everything, and that's a limiter on what you can do as a company.
You've hit your ceiling. Yeah. You can't.
You're at 80 hours a week, expand. And you're like, I can't.
Right.
Yeah.
No, and I think to that point, we've learned how to expand over the years because we've got the right people involved. And there's been ideas and processes and things that have been brought to the table as a result of those people being part of the collaboration. And definitely can't take full credit for all of that. So it's been a journey, and still making mistakes and still figuring things out. But that's part of it, I think. It really is.
Awesome. Well, any other questions, Greg?
No. Anything I'm excited to hear about your next project.
Yeah, can everyone find you?
Yeah, you got
what's
a project.
Your social media? What's your address again?
Yes. I mean, you can find us on our website. That's mockcabinets.com. But we are on Facebook. Again, Mock Cabinets. You'll find us on both Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. Right now, we've got so many different projects going on, but probably the one I'm the most excited about is a summer showcase that I'll be doing with G.A. White. They are a builder in Xenia. It's my my prominent builder account that I work with. And some of the really just exceptional, crazy jobs that I post, like last week's post was a G.A. White job. And those are really neat as a designer because there are not 8-foot ceilings. There are no limitations. Like, they are willing to just do whatever. And as a designer, that's like really refreshing.
Yeah.
You're not really held down.
Yeah. You're not limited.
Get a blank slate.
Much. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And so a client cool. that's into that.
Yeah. And this summer showcase, I mean, this one in particular, it's a 10,000 square foot home. We've been working on it for like over a year.
Wow.
It's the biggest project the most cabinets I've ever sold in one setting for one person. So that one will be phenomenal. And
can't wait to see the photos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that like an open house walkthrough kind of thing?
Yeah. So they kind of, you know, back in the day, they still do Homerama, but G.A. White kind of does their own thing, which I fully admire and respect. They kind of make their own Homerama. And so they'll sell tickets to it and they'll have like,
when's that?
Don't know the exact, it'll happen in the summer. I don't even think they know because we're still working on it. It'll be like a mad rush, like it always is at the end to get it staged and decorated.
Yeah.
But yeah, that one I'm really proud of. That might be probably the neatest job I've been involved
in. That's awesome.
So that's cool. Up and coming.
Yeah. It's neat to have work that you're like, you're excited. You get up in the morning and you're like, I'm going to work on that today. Yeah. It's exciting as opposed to, why can't I find a better job?
I know.
It's exciting when you're like, I got up this morning. I'm like, I cannot wait to go to work today. And that's just weird. Most people don't have that. So it's exciting.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
It's an awesome thing. It's a
very good thing. That's what we, you know, all aspire to. Mm-hmm. Hope that we have.
That's the dream.
That is the dream.
For sure.
Living the dream.
Living the dream. Well, thank you so much, Aaron, for being on the podcast. We appreciate you coming out
and this was fun.
Taking the time for sure.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for
the Tippecanoe New Gazette.
Thank you for coming on the show today. Thanks, Aaron. And thank you, Meredith, for coming on the show. We're very excited to host. If you want to be a guest on the show, reach out to me at greg@tipgazette.com. And anything else, Meredith?
You go. Nope, that's it.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you very much, everybody, and tune in next time.
Thanks, Greg.
It is pretty low-key. Not too stressful.
Yeah, hopefully I didn't talk your ear off.
No, that's good.
That's what we want.
Once you pull my string, I'm just like a little chatty cat.
No, it's perfect. Yeah.